Well, there was a man and a woman that both had bought tickets to a sleeping car on a train. And there was some mix-up, and so they ended up buying the same ticket to the same car, and they were complete strangers. So this was a little bit of an awkward situation to find themselves in. Complete strangers, and they had a sleeping car that they were sharing. But they got over the awkwardness, and they figured, you know, we need to get a rest. So they went ahead, and they took the bunk beds. She took the top bunk. He took the bottom bunk, and decided going to get some rest for the evening. And so gets a little chilly, so she leans over, and she said, "Would you mind handing me a blanket?" And he said, "What if we just pretend we're married?" So she giggled. "Okay." And he said, "Good, get your own blanket." Boy, marriage can be stressful, can it? We're talking about stressed out. And we've been talking about all sorts of different subjects that we get stressed out about in our life. And so today we're talking about being stressed about our spouse. And definitely would fall under the top six of our stressors, though you're not allowed to admit that right now. You know you do. So we do. We get stressed out, but we're going to jump right in. We've got a lot to cover today. We've got our success with stress tips. And the first one is know your limits. So we have to know our limits. First limit, and you will fill this out gender specific. If you're a man, you'll fill the first blank out, "I am a man." If you're a woman, you'll fill that out, "I am a woman." If you fill it out as it's written up on the board, you're going to be very confused when you get home and look at your bulletin notes. There are some that try to break free of this limitation, but I think it's safe to say that for the majority of us here, we are going to stick with the limitation. We're going to remain within the limitation that God gave us. And if you're a woman today, you're going to remain a woman. If you're a man, you're going to remain a man. And that's what you are. You're either a woman or you're a man, and you have to know your limitations. Now, if you've ever had any question as to whether you're a man or a woman, then the next time you go to the bathroom, I want you to look at the sign on the door, and that'll tell you which you are, because that's the bathroom you're going into, and you just look at the sign, that'll tell you, just in case there was ever any doubt. You guys were wondering where I was going with that, weren't you? All right, second limitation, I am, and once again, this is gender specific, I'm either a husband or I'm a wife. So you write down, "I'm a husband" if you're a man, if you're a married man, and if you're taking notes for future, then go on and take notes for that, thinking I will be a husband someday, or I'll be a wife someday, or I am a wife today, I'm a husband today. If you're a married man, then you are a husband. You're not a wife. Are we good? All right, if you're a married woman, you are a wife and not a husband. Now, I know you can call me old-fashioned, but I stand on this. We have to know our limits. If you're a man in a married relationship, you are the husband. And unfortunately, a lot of men are criticized in the marriage for not acting like a woman. Very true. Men can't be husbands if they aren't men first. Now, a lot of you women, you might think it might be nice to be married to a girly man. You know, the different things. You'd be able to do each other's hair, go shopping for shoes together, or you could paint each other's toenails. But let me tell you what, that is never going to happen. And the reason is that there's something in the male DNA where we are physically allergic to nail polish. It just, it gets in our nose and it does something. Can I go, guys? Yeah, okay, come on. I know I'm not the only one. That stuff kills me. So, but ladies, really, is this what you really want? Is a girly man? Or do you want a man? All right. Calm down. We haven't even got to the sex part yet of the message. All right, so, but it's so true. We've got men who are criticized for not acting like a woman in a relationship. And they're not. They're men. They're made to be men. And we have the opposite happening as well. You've got women who are trying to be men because for some reason they feel that being feminine is weak or somehow second rate. The feminist movement cracks me up because it's not about feminism at all. Have you ever thought about that? Does that ever hit you? It's a feminist movement, but it's all about women being masculine. It should be called the masculinist movement. But that word doesn't exist, so I guess that's why they call it the feminist. But seriously, a movement that's called the feminist movement, you would think that being called feminist movement, it would support, it would embrace, it would celebrate the feminism that is women. That would just make sense to me. Wives, you can't be a wife if you're not a woman first. Now, some of you might think that this is a moot point. But the truth is, there are a lot of marriages that are stressed out because you've got this problem and you haven't understood your limitations. You've got men who are being criticized because they're not being womanly enough. You've got women who are trying to be men. You've got wives that are trying to act like the man. You've got husbands that are trying to act like the woman. Or have you got both and it's completely all flip-flopped out? Husbands, be men. Wives, be women. That's all. There are a couple of great books on this. I'm going to give you this resource, and then we're going to keep moving. But Wild at Heart and Captivating, these are both older books, but they're by John Eldridge. Captivating is the woman side, and it's written by John and his wife, Stacy. These two books, they explore and they celebrate the uniqueness of the feminine and the masculine soul. Wild at Heart is exploring the masculine soul. Captivating is exploring the feminine soul. I really suggest reading these books. If you want to do something fun in your marriage, do something different, maybe something you've never done before, grab these two books and have the wife read Wild at Heart, have the husband read Captivating. Once you get done, then swap them. Now, wives, you're going to have to be, you know, patient with us because it takes us a while. You might catch us with an audio copy of it where we can listen to it in our car. But really, it would be a great exercise because these books really dive in. Captivating does a great job of saying, here's the feminine soul and it's beautiful and it's great and there's a lot of strength in it being feminine. And Wild at Heart, it just kind of explains why men have to, you know, kick things and kill things and be loud and get dirty. So I encourage you, read those books, get into that. Success with stress, tip number two that we've been building on through the series is what? Build boundaries based on priorities. So in a marriage relationship, you've got role boundaries. Now I was corrected on my spelling on this. Well, you got to quit this happening. This didn't happen too many weeks in a row. I actually had a volunteer that volunteered to proofread, and I should have taken them up on it this week. It was just a busy week. So it's R-O-L-E, not rolling around like stop, drop, and roll. So role boundaries, and they're found in Ephesians chapter 5. And Paul lays it out very clearly in Ephesians chapter 5 that the roles of the husband and the wife in marriage, and they're simply stated in this passage that the husband's are to love your wife. Husbands, love your wife. Wives, respect your husband. Now, I once heard it said, and I've been looking ever since I've heard it said, and I've yet to discredit this statement, and it is that nowhere in the Bible are wives told to love their husbands. And I haven't been able to find it. If you find it, let me know, because I'm curious. I was very skeptical when I first read that. But then years later, I'm still looking, and I haven't found it. But wives are commanded in Scripture to respect their husbands. These are how the roles work. So let's take a look here at Ephesians chapter 5. We've been jumping around in Scripture in this series. But today, we're actually just going to kind of nestle into a couple Scriptures. So you can go on and turn there with me. Ephesians, getting your New Testament, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, then you hit Romans and Corinthians, Acts, Romans, Corinthians. Then Galatians and Ephesians is right after that. Ephesians chapter 5. Wives, respect your husbands. Starting in verse 22, Paul addresses the wives. He says, "Wives, submit to your husbands as to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, as Christ is the head of the church, the body, his body, of which he is the Savior. Now, as the church submits to Christ, so also wives should submit to their husbands in everything." You hear the women say that? It hurts them to say that. Respect your husbands. Women, respect your husbands. Now that might sound a bit sexist. And it is. You're a woman. It's sexist. That's your role. Respect your husbands. We just reviewed that a few minutes ago. I mean, surely, if you're going to go and fill out a new patient form at your doctor's office and it asks sex, you're going to circle the F, or you're going to write F in the little blank. Right, ladies? That's so sexist. Same point, isn't it? It's what you are. You're a woman. Why fight and battle it? I'm a woman. I'm not a woman, but I'm saying it from your perspective. If you're a woman, be a woman. And the Bible says, wives, if you're a wife, then you're a woman. We covered this already. I thought it was pretty clear under limitations. If you're a wife, then you're a woman. Respect your husbands. So is that sexist? Yes, it has everything to do with your sex. You're a woman. Now, in the couples that I've given premarital care to, we talk about this section in Scripture. And in fact, Ephesians chapter 5 is the passage of Scripture that I use throughout my message when I do a wedding. And as we read this and we mention this passage, I've had a lot of women cringe. In fact, I had one lady that was in my office and she said, "Oh, I knew you were going to read that verse. I hate that verse. I don't want to hate it because I love God, but I hate that verse. I hate being submissive. I don't like the idea of submitting to my husband." And I said, and in all these different cases, I've had some that have just kind of gotten uncomfortable and some that have been like, "All right, I'll do it. You know, I'll say yes, so you'll marry us, and then I'll not do it. I'll just say I'll do it." But I just tell them, just kind of suspend your belief for just a moment and let's look at the husband's role, and then we'll come back to the woman's role. So let's look at the husband's role here. It's to love their wife. Simply put, in verse 25, husbands, love your wives. Then Paul explains what it is to be a man in the relationship, what it is to be a husband to your wife. Love your wives, just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. So Jesus is our example, and the first example of that is that he laid his life down. So husbands, that's how we are to love. You lay your life down for your wife. To make her holy, cleansing her by washing with the water through the word. Husbands, we have a spiritual responsibility to our families, to our wives specifically, to wash them with water through the word. Just like Christ washes us with water through the word, we have the responsibility as man of the house, as the husband, to wash our wives with the word, to share with them the word, to keep them in the word, so that to present her to himself as a radiant church without stain or wrinkle or any other blemish, but holy and blameless. So the purpose in sharing the word and keeping the word in our families, husbands, in loving our wives, is so that our wife becomes that much more beautiful. That's our purpose in loving our wife and sharing with them what they are and they can be in God's word, what they're made to be, is to make her holy and beautiful and blameless without blemish. Is this sounding good, women? Wouldn't it be nice? In the same way, husbands ought to love their wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. After all, no one has ever hated his own body, but he feeds and cares for it just as Christ does the church. For we are members of his body. For this reason, a man will leave his father and mother and be united to his wife, and the two will become one flesh. He says that you're to love your wife as you love yourself, as you love your own body, and you feed and you care for it. Feed being a physical care, and well, a physical provision, care being an emotional provision. That you take care of your wife's physical needs, you take care of her emotional needs. You feed and care. Now, when we look at what it looks like to love in that capacity, and that's the man's job, to be the Christ in the relationship, then we come back to the woman's role. Women, how many of you would submit to a husband that's going to love you like that? How many of you would respect a husband that would love you like that? That makes it a whole lot better, doesn't it? Now, the scripture doesn't say if your husband does this, you do this. It's still your role. Regardless what your husband does, your role is to respect him. But it's your role, husbands, to love your wife. So those are the different roles in the marriage. So we've got role boundaries. Not things that keep us from rolling off the bed or, you know, rolling around on the floor. But role with an E, boundaries. So then we've got top sources of stress in a marriage. Top sources of stress in a marriage include finances and money problems. But we already talked about that. We had a whole message on stressed out about our debt, stressed out about our finances. So if you go back and review your notes on that, if you go back and review that online, you take the information and the wisdom from God's word on how to be stress-free with your finances, and it's actually going to lower your stress with your spouse. Because that's one of the stressors in a marriage. What else is one of the top stressors in a marriage? Kids! Yes! Just the presence of a child in the house is a stress on the relationship of a husband and wife. Two of them make it four times as worse. I don't know how, but it's like, it's astronomical. It's exponential how it works. But kids, children, but that was our first message in this series. Kids, stress us out. You take a biblical perspective on that and you learn how to live with less stress or even no stress with your children, you're going to have less stress with your spouse. Another couple of things that add stress to the marriage. Lack of communication. Now, that we haven't talked about. But yes, and we're going to kind of hit a little bit on that one today. What? Yes, money. Somebody just woke up. Time and work. Oh, did anybody hear that? It's time and work. Oh, they did. They said it over here. Okay, I didn't hear you. But yes, time, our time management. We talked about that in a whole message earlier last week on Father's Day. How to manage your time. You get your time under biblical wisdom and you start arranging your time and using God's word to help you budget your time. It's going to drop your stress in your marriage. Use biblical wisdom on how to work and to budget your emotions and to budget your energy at work. It's going to help you to be able to be better, stress-free in your marriage. Another stressor in marriages. No one's going to say. There we go. Sex, lack of intimacy. Thank you. We have both sides of the coin there. Yes. Sex. Oh, no, don't talk about sex in church. Oh, yes. You know, you can't talk about sex in church. It's unholy. No, sex was pre-sin. Sex was in the garden before sin entered the world. It's holy in its origin. Its perversions are unholy. Sex is very holy. It is God created and God ordained. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Whoa, that was all from women. I was expecting a masculine voice there. Amen. There we go. One guy here. I'm really worried about you guys. We're going to have to take them on more mission trips. We need to get Joby in here and start recruiting some of these guys. But what about, there's children in the room. Please don't be that naive. Your children at alarming ages are hearing about this subject. They need to know that it's part of a healthy marriage. They need to know that it's worth waiting for. And they also need to know that it can cause stress even in a marriage when handled incorrectly. And this can be a serious source of stress. Frequency, quality, quantity. So let's turn over to 1 Corinthians because the Bible actually talks about this. Turn backwards a few books to 1 Corinthians chapter 7. 1 Corinthians chapter 7. Starting with verse 1, says, for matters you wrote about, it is good for a man not to marry. Our small group's watching a marriage video series, and he brings this verse up and says that, you know what, if you just listen to that verse, you wouldn't have any marriage problems. I like that. It's good for a man not to marry. But We do. We marry. He said, but since there's so much immorality, each man should have his own wife and each woman her own husband. The husband should fulfill his marital duty to his wife and likewise the wife to her husband. The wife's body does not belong to her alone, but also to her husband. In the same way, the husband's body does not belong to him alone, but also to his wife. Do not deprive each other except by mutual consent and for a time, so that you may devote yourselves to prayer. Then come together again so that Satan will not tempt you because of your lack of self-control. I say this as a concession, not as a command. Now, I appreciate Paul saying that, saying, hey, you can't use this. You can't, you know, hold this over people's heads. You know, it's a command. It's in God's word. Paul says, no, it's a concession. It's not a command. But I'll tell you what, if I'm going to take advice from somebody, if Paul's handing out advice, I think I'm going to try it. He's pretty sharp. Pretty sharp guy. So if he's going to hand out some advice, I'm at least going to give it a try. You know, so he says, it's a concession. And I think I shared with you guys once that I tried to use this on my wife because being a, you know, astute Bible college student, you know, I was like, you know what? Bible says that your body belongs to me. You know. And without missing a beat, she turned around and she said, yeah, it also says that your body belongs to me, and I'm telling your body that your body doesn't want my body. You know, sometimes it doesn't pay to marry a smart woman. There's something to be said for a dumb one. So, but anyway, I got a smart one. So, but when you get married, your body is no longer just yours. You share it. It's yours and your spouse's. Men, this includes your eyes. Men are visual. That's why Jesus picked on men when he said, don't even look at a woman lustfully. He didn't go and give a counterpart to the women. He just went straight to guys and said, don't even look at a woman lustfully. We're visual. Men are very visual. We need to remember that our eyes belong to our wife as well, men. Be careful what you look at with eyes that are mutually owned by you and your wife. Other women in public, in movies, on the internet. Be reminded that those eyes you're using are hers also. Use your eyes to look at your wife, men. And look at her the way she would like to be looked at. Some guys are really particular about their car. Okay, follow me with this, guys. I'm on a guy level, okay? Yeah. You're really particular about your car, and you wash it, and you wax it, and you go over every little piece, and you stand back, and you see, oh, this part's not as shiny as the other pieces. I'm going to kind of spend a little more time on this one and get it nice and shiny. And then what do? You stand back, guys, don't you? Say, that's a good-looking car. And I don't care what you're driving. I mean, if you're taking pride in your car, and you shine it up, and you got it all nice-looking, you're going to stand back and you say, that's a nice-looking car. How much more valuable is your wife than a car, guys? Use that same attention to detail and pour love into your wife, because when you're pouring love into it and you're looking over every little piece and saying, oh, this one needs a little buff here, make that a little more shiny, and I'm talking about all the stuff we talked about in Ephesians 5, about laying your life down, about caring for their physical needs, about caring for their emotional needs, and look at that with the attention, the detail that you have, and look at your wife through those eyes. And then be able to stand back. And after all the love you've poured into that, say, that's a beautiful woman. Use those eyes. Some guys they're real particular about their lawn. And they're so detail-oriented with their eyes. And they can look out there and they can see their lawn. And they say, well, the lawn needs a little bit of water today. Or it can do without water. It looks like it's a little overly watered, so I'm not going to water it today. And they can watch and they can see where it needs to be trimmed here. Or some shrubs need to this be taken care of. And this needs to be done here, whatnot. I'm not a big, landscaping guy. But I know guys who are. And, man, they see all these little finite details that I would never see. Guys, we have an attention to detail. We're wired that way. Use those eyes for your wife. Feed and care for her. Look at her and know when she needs a little something extra. Know when she needs a little extra emotional attention. Know when she needs to have a getaway away from the kids. Watch. Guys, you're capable. We don't use our eyes the way we should. Our ears belong to our wife as well. Guys, just listen. Now, guys are very task-oriented, so I have to be careful when I say this, because when I say, your ears belong to your wife, so just listen, then I'm going to have a whole group of guys. I'm doing what he told me to do. I'm listening. Okay, you got to kind of involve yourself a little bit. Listen, don't problem solve. Can I get an amen, ladies? Okay, don't problem solve, but you do have to communicate, because guess what? The mouth you own, it now belongs to her too. So you got to communicate and involve yourself in the conversation. Not problem solving, just involving yourself in the conversation. Now, some of you are thinking, didn't I see the topic on this, like sexual boundaries? And the men here are thinking, none of this is sexual at all. Oh, no. Ladies? Oh, yes. This is all sexual, guys. This is how they function sexually. You're looking at her with these eyes, with these ears, and you're using this mouth to give them uplifting things and say things to them and involve yourself conversationally with them. And the body's largest sexual organ, the brain. Use your brain, because your brain belongs to her as well. Think about her. Let her know that you're thinking of her. So, your body belongs to you and your spouse. Let me pick on the women then. Women, this includes your time and attention. There we go. I don't know where you guys are going with that. Women are often compared to felines or cats, kind of dainty, and even your male cats, they just kind of have a daintiness to them. Men are often compared to what? Dogs. We've already been making the noises to prove it. When you come home, if the cat's hungry, the cat's doing figure eights between your legs. But aside from that, you know. But when you come home, where's the dog? Yeah. I want your attention. I just want to be with you. I just want to be near you. Now, some of you might think, well, that's not my husband at all. No, we hide it. We hide it well. What a guy needs is your time and your attention. If he just needed a body, he could go down to the local morgue. Ew, nasty, did you just say that? I did, because it's not just a body that a guy needs, that a husband needs from his wife. It's not just your physical body that he needs. He needs your time and your attention. It's not just your body. And when you take away the time and attention, that is a tremendous turnaround on a guy's psychology. Let me help explain this a little bit. We are wired, both sexes are wired completely different with endorphins and hormones, and I go into a whole big deal on that, but I'm just going to bring up one hormone that goes through the male mind when we are involved in a sexual encounter. We have norepinephrine that's released in our brains. This hormone is directly connected to the reward system. And so even if we're understanding and we say, you know what, I understand it's late, I understand it's been a long week, we're still wired in such a way that that's connected to a reward system. So when I don't have time, I don't want to give you my attention right now, that communicates to a guy, I lost, I did something wrong. On the other side, don't use it. Reward. I'm trying to help you understand how we think about it. I'm not wanting you to abuse this. But on the other side, when you do give us that extra time, when you do give us that attention, and when you are tired, then it communicates, I did something right. I don't know what I did right, because oftentimes we just don't know, do we, guys? But we get a chance to think, I did something right. I'm successful as a husband. And we gauge it. Guys, I wouldn't ask you to raise your hand in church, because I know a lot of you wouldn't. But if you go home and wives, you ask your husbands, do you really feel this way? You know, you might get that, but that means yes. All right. So watch how you spend your time and attention. It's not just a body that we're after, wives. We want your time and your attention. Now, let's expand this out just a bit. Actually, a whole lot. Let's go beyond just sexual behavior and sexual boundaries. There's an excellent book out called His Needs, Her Needs. And it was written with the desire to divorce-proof your marriage. And in this book, he states that even though there'll be slight differences from person to person, there are general needs for a man and there are general needs for a woman. And across the board, they're pretty much right. Might have a little bit of order switching up. But I've got that in your bulletin. We'll have it up here on the screen. And these are his needs and her needs. Now watch how this works. Men, if you catch the understanding of these sexual boundaries and you understand my eyes belong to my wife also, my mouth belongs to my wife also, my ears, my brain, then aren't you going to be catering to all five of her needs? Affection. When you're thinking and you're doing something that's completely non-sexual touches because you're thinking about her. And you're seeing her and you're complimenting her. You're giving her affection, verbal affection, conversation, talking. When you realize my mouth and my ears belong to her also, you're going to be conversating with her. You're going to be sharing with her. And that's one of her needs, is to have conversation with you. Honesty and openness. Financial support goes back to the Ephesians' roles in the marriage. Just love her like you would your own body. Who hates his own body? Who doesn't care for his own body? But you feed it and you care for it. If you're following the roles that you should be doing as a man, as a husband, you're going to be giving financial support. You're going to be taking care of her that way. And family commitment. You know, when your wife knows that your eyes belong to her, and your ears belong to her, and your mouth belongs to her, and your brain belongs to her, she knows that family commitment isn't a question. Isn't that cool? How it just kind of broadens out. Now, women, look at this. Any woman, if you catch the understanding of this sexual boundary of time and attention, and then you explode it out into the rest of the marriage, then first of all, you're going to be taking care of, number one, sexual fulfillment. It's not just sex. It's sexual fulfillment. And then you'll be taking care of recreational companionship. Guys need, and in a very, very literal sense of the word, guys need a playmate. And that's what we want to have in a wife. We want someone to go and do fun stuff together. We enjoy that. And that's a need. According to the book, that's number two on the needs. If you're spending time and attention on us, we're going to get a playmate. We're going to get to go and do some fun things. We're going to do this and we're going to do that. And we're going to involve ourselves in things and go out and who knows, you might find something that you like that you never thought you'd like before. Attractive wife. You take some of that time and attention, you spend it on yourself for him. Look, isn't it just explodes on out. Domestic support, time and attention spent around the house. Admiration. This is huge. Guys need to know that they're doing a good job as your husband, that they're doing a good job as the dad of your children, that they're being a man. And they need to hear it from the woman in their life. They need to hear it from their wife. And it's not only through the verbal communication, but it's the physical communication. When your wife wants to be around you, for a husband, for a man, that makes him feel, I must be doing something right because my wife wants to be around me. That's affirmation. So the sexual boundaries you place in your marriage help to set up behavior patterns that go far beyond the bedroom. A healthy sex life in marriage can feed the rest of the marriage. In the Odyssey by Homer, some of you guys remember that book? Some of you were forced to read it. Some of you actually enjoyed it. You might not admit it. In the Odyssey by Homer, one of Odysseus's bedposts in his bed is a live rooted olive tree. Fictional story. But this live rooted olive tree was the cornerstone or the corner bedpost. And that bed was in the center of the bedroom. And the bedroom was the center of the palace. And the palace was the center of the city. All centered on that olive tree that was his bedpost. See, Homer, when he wrote this, he had a good understanding of the importance of a pure, healthy, undefiled sexual relationship between a husband and a wife. I want you to do something for me. Use your imaginations when you go home. I want you to walk into your bedroom, and I want you to look at one of your bedposts. And I want you to imagine what that bedpost would look like as a tree that was rooted down into the ground, growing and alive, and how that represents your sexual relationship with your spouse, and then how that represents everything out from that ripples out from it. Permanent, unshakable, rooted. Not a dead piece of wood. It's alive. It's living. It's growing. Representing all of the other behavior choices and boundaries in your marriage. Rooted in that bedpost. So we know our limits. We build boundaries based on priorities. And we do what? Stop following fools. This one's real simple. And this one I'll have to read per gender. All right, we'll take the ladies first. If you're going to fill out these blanks, you'll say, I respect my husband, not because he deserves it, but because God deserves my obedience. If you're a man, husband, you're filling this out, then it will be, I love my wife, not because she deserves it, but because God deserves my obedience. In the passage in Ephesians, just before he starts talking individually to wives and individually to husbands, he has this one little verse in verse 21 that says, submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. Let me share with you what a lot of people do in their marriages. This is Christian and non-Christian. You got the husband, and you got the wife, and you've got this linear relationship here between the two of them. And sometimes it looks like that. But the husband loves the wife because she's so deserving of his love. She's so sweet. She's such a doll. She deserves my love. I'm going to love her today. What happens on a day when she's not lovable? Forget that. I ain't going to love her. She doesn't deserve it. You don't deserve my love. You're not even worth my time. Girl, I pay for this roof. Okay, so, but the same thing happens with the wife. The wife, on some days where the husband's, I mean, he's the man. He's bringing home the money and things are looking good and he's taking care of the kids. And she said, I can submit to him. I can respect him because he's the man. But then what happens on the day when he's not the man or maybe he loses his job and he's struggling? I'm going to submit to him. He doesn't have it together. He can't even hold a job down. I'm going to respect that guy. He doesn't deserve my respect. You earn my respect, mister. Okay, some of you might have actually said these things. Check this out. I call this the love triangle. I love showing this to couples that come into my office that want God to be a part of their wedding and had never even considered God being a part of their marriage. It's a love triangle. This is really, really cool. Scripturally, I'm told to love my wife out of obedience to God. God doesn't change. So my commitment to my responsibility to love my wife, then if it's viewed in this love triangle, it doesn't change because God doesn't change. God is always deserving of my obedience. So I obey God, I love my wife, no matter what she deserves or what day it is. Same thing is true here. Wife respects her husband, submits to her husband, not because he deserves it, but because God deserves our obedience. And this is the way God set it up. Now, here's a really cool thing. All right, that's cool enough because that adds a nice foundation. It's like you can't shake a marriage like that. Because no matter what's happening here, or if something's happening in both, that's always going to be solid. You can always come back to that. That's always your center. That's always your foundation. That's always a solid base that your marriage is based on. Now, this I love. Love triangle. Here we go. You ready? God loves my wife through me. Is that cool? God wants to use me to love my wife to show his love to her. So not only do I get the chance to love her with my love, but I get a chance to love my love with the power of God's love through me. And God wants to do this. He wants to use me to love my wife and vice versa. God wants to show men value through their wives' respect. He wants to lift them up and give them confidence and encourage them through their wives' submission. And God does that through you, ladies. God lifts us up. He makes us stronger. He gives us courage. He helps us to be able to get out there and fight another day because of your respect and your submission. And you're not doing it because we deserve it. You're doing it because God deserves our obedience. The love triangle. So stop following fools. get some things, get some clues from God's scripture. Your body doesn't belong to you. It belongs to your spouse as well. You have a role in the marriage. And if you're a husband or a wife, then you're a woman or a man, or husband or wife, you're a man or a woman. And you have a role that God has set up for you in the marriage. Try it. See how it works for you. I challenge you. And see what happens to your stress level in your marriage as you start to apply God's principles for your marriage.